Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of NDB Media's... Oh, wait a minute. Not Sports Talk with the Guys. It's the... let's do it. Welcome to NDB Media's Sports Talk with the Guys.
Home of the Money Quarterbacks on Saturday. Part 2 on Benny's channel.
It's on my channel. Part 2. Big Buck, you don't feel like you're awake?
Oh, yeah, I'm just running a few things here.
Seem a little tired. But my voice is back. I couldn't do the, that good morning. I couldn't do that one this morning for some reason. I think Sonny was listening to me as I was struggling. I think he saw me attempted.
When I got out of the car, I could hear you, though.
You can hear me because I'm that annoying, but you could not hear me do the good morning, sportsman. Huh, Sonny? It just wouldn't go this morning, huh?
Just wouldn't happen. Nope, it didn't happen.
I don't know why. I tried to, and it wouldn't work. I guess I need that cup of Joe. That regular flavor from 7-Eleven. Want to thank the 7-Eleven here on the corner of Alexander and Tweedy Boulevard in the city of Southgate.
Why? That's not where I go.
Oh, which 7-Eleven do you go to?
Off the freeway.
Oh, the one over on sorry. Are you talking about the one that's on Firestone? Atlantic Boulevard and Abbott.
Yeah.
That's the one you go to?
Oh, that's always where I get off.
Right. Is that where you always get off?
That's where you get off.
Wow. First of all, you get off, then you exit the freeway?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Because I'm thinking of you.
Oh, geez, Lord Almighty. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So, hey, we're back, guys. I guess the couch potato and I are going to continue, and we got the big dog here for about 30 minutes because he's got to go and do something, right?
You have to go to work.
You have to go to work today.
Yeah.
Good for you, big dog.
It could take all, 5 minutes to do what I have to do, but...
Don't say that on air.
You say a lot more on air.
Well, because I have legal action going.
Yeah, but we still need to talk about that. Anyways, we'll talk about that later.
Do you want to read the letter? They messed up big time, dude.
Yeah,
they really did.
Stop it.
All right, I'll stop about my employer being stupid. Yeah, I'll stop. They're making my life miserable, dude. So all I have to do is to make fun of them. That's all I have. So you're right, big dog. I will cease and... I'm sorry? Yeah, okay. Fair enough. All right, we'll continue. So, ladies and gentlemen... Hey, Sonny Clark, why don't you continue for a moment, please?
Oh, you mean be... Okay, I can do sports. I can do that. Let's...
Yeah,
we can talk about...
for a moment, please.
I will do so. Yeah, I will take over and talk a little bit about what's going on in sports. Talking about first of all, like we said, the Couch Potato Sports Show tonight, the Texas Revolution take on the Sioux Falls Storm. Texas Revolution, unfortunately, not going to make the playoffs this year. However, they're trying to break the streak of the Sioux Falls Storm at home with 31 games won in a row. So that is huge as well. So, Jeff Garcia makes a big statement yesterday. Those that don't know who Jeff Garcia is, he's a quarterback that has been snubbed. He says, "I'll go to the Oakland Raiders right now and start for him." That's what Jeff Garcia says. He's been out of the league since 2011. He says he's still in good enough shape to play in the NFL. And Rich Eisen asked him if he could still play. And without hesitation, he says, "I'll go to the Oakland Raiders right now and start for him." That was a quote.
That's because he knows they suck right now and he couldn't do any worse.
Well, here's the thing. There are a couple of Jeff Garcia, frankly, I like Jeff Garcia. I've always liked him. And there was another guy, once he started not making the NFL, the reason why that guy didn't go to Canada, I don't know. And talk about a gun. That guy had an arm, has an arm. I think he would make a big difference as far as the Canadian league is concerned. He at least would have got some notoriety, and he probably would have been famous up there if he decided to go that way. But he decided to not do that and remain retired. So, and Terrell Owens, we have a sighting of Terrell Owens. The guy wants to become a professional bowler. He's also stated that if he does not make an NFL squad this year, he will officially retire.
Oh, no. Say it ain't so, Sonny. Are you serious?
Yeah.
He's finally retired?
Yes, and so, more news that isn't out now, kind of spread here on this show. Terrell Owens actually won his lawsuit against the Allen Wranglers, just to let you know. He won that lawsuit. So just to let you know, it wasn't big, and it's hardly even out there as far as news is concerned because no one really cares anymore. However, he did win that lawsuit against the Allen Wranglers. So just thought I'd let you know that. The whole situation is that there was a settlement that was made via John Frankel and the Allen Wranglers, the former owner of the Indoor Football League Allen Wranglers. But under the immunity of the court case, the specifics were not let out. So just to let you know, that's what that whole situation is.
Wow. So there you go, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
You're not going to hear that story out there either, and more in the fact that I'm so lazy nowadays. I don't even feel like typing. I just don't feel like writing the article. That one's not going to be let out very much as far as news. You might have heard it first here and last, because I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to be reported. So there you go.
Wow, fair enough, Sonny. Hey, did you know that Serena Williams just won the French Open right now? Breaking news right now.
Oh, man, she beat Maria Sharapova.
Yeah.
Damn it. Oh, well.
I like her.
Serena Williams or Maria Sharapova?
Not Serena Williams.
Maria Sharapova. Yeah.
Yes.
I follow her on Facebook.
I'd follow her anywhere. I'd do the classic walk a mile for a vertical smile there.
Walk a mile for a vertical smile. Wow.
Yep. It's one of the Clark's made up things. Sorry, you got that. You got caught up in it. Sorry.
Not at all. That is a genuine. That's a first. I've never heard that one. Walk a mile for a vertical smile. That's a Clark one. Ooh.
Yeah, well, we've talked about it on your show before. I'm sure Big Dog remembers.
It's a Clarkism.
It's a Clarkism from
it's
the
a Clarkism.
Clark estate.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. Okay, fair enough. I like that one. Since you talked about T.O., of course you talked about his running buddy,
Chad, Mr. Ocho Cinco Johnson.
Yeah, what's going on?
He wants to come back. He wants one final run in the NFL. He says that he is finally at peace with himself. It was actually a really good article because he says he knows that he got complacent while he was playing, and he says he lost his desire, and now that he's been away from the game for about a year, year and a half, he says he's got himself into shape. He says he's got the fire and the hunger back, and he wants to prove that he can still play in the game, and he wants to go out, I guess, on his own terms and not the way that he was kind of ushered out because of his non-passion, I guess, in the game where he was, just let go. So he says he wants one final chance and to prove that he can still play the game.
But hold on a minute.
Very humble interview.
Yeah, but what happened to him? Because he was arrested last month for a probation violation.
Yeah, he said that was, according to him and according to the article, he said that was a misunderstanding between him and his parole officer that will be cleared up on Monday when he talks to the judge and parole officer. He said they've already talked about it, and I guess the parole officer is agreeing with him that it was a misunderstanding between them. So maybe, we'll see.
All right, well, that's cool, because it is. It was on ESPN,
yes,
that Chad Johnson wants another chance.
Yeah.
Wow. Sonny, would you give him another chance?
Say again?
Would you give him another chance?
Chad, if I needed a fourth wide receiver, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I wouldn't give him a starting position, but I'd give him a backup receiver.
Here's a quote from him in the interview. I'm going to be okay. I'm okay now. But I put myself in this situation, and I have to deal with everything. With life, I'm at peace. No, that's my illiterate voice. I'm at peace with everything. I would love to finish my career off the right way. If it happens, I'm not sure, but I would like to. See, now, when I do a southern voice.
Are you saying southerners are illiterate?
Southern illiterate.
You know, Brian's a Southerner, so that's why, you know, I run that group there.
Hold on. When I, and I use this term loosely, when I do a Southern one, it's actually a lot happier and a lot deeper when I say, I'm a Southern boy. Hey, haven't you noticed? There's a significant difference in my hostile attitude.
There is.
That was just my illiterate voice, but the other one is my Southern voice.
So maybe there is no difference, okay? There is no difference.
Very good, big dog. Very good. I guess on video you should have seen me squirm on that one, right? Wow, that was uncomfortable silence.
I
big dog,
it was
how
funny.
Much time we have you before?
Well, I know. What do you want to talk about?
Sonny has a lot of information. You have a lot of information. What else do you want to go over?
So, I mean, we can go NBA. We can talk about the whole...
We actually talked quite a bit of NBA yesterday, which was good, but we can continue.
Well, we can talk about Major League Baseball and their lawsuit against the Biogenics people and all the players that are involved in there, because I do have the list of 20 players.
Why don't you go over the Biogenics stuff, and then we'll go over the butt-whipping that the Heat suffered on Thursday.
All right. Well, as you all know, Major League Baseball is Tony Bosch, of course, the owner of Biogenesis. I suppose he had given a deposition yesterday. And he's supposed to be naming the names and giving all testimony along with... confirming those names, then, I guess. And also there are supposed to be some accomplices or some acquaintances that were all supposed to have given cooperating... testimony in that. Now, the players that are listed, of course, are Ryan Braun of the Brewers, Everett Cabrera of the Padres, Melky Cabrera of the Blue Jays, Francisco Cervelli of the Yankees.
I love it when he pronounces these names.
Bartolo Colon of the Athletics, Nelson Cruz of the Rangers.
Go on.
Pacino? Pacino de los Santos, who is a free agent. Gio Gonzalez of the National, he's on the list, but his name on the list is only with legal substances. He was not given anything illegal, but his name is on the list, so they just added it, but they did put that disclaimer on there.
Yeah, he's on the list, he's been named, but apparently we know what he purchased.
It was legal.
And I think the owner, Bosch himself, said, well, he's on the list, but, yeah.
Yeah. Yasmani... Grandal of the Padres, Fernando Martinez of the Astros, Jesus Montero of the Mariners.
That was the old Yankee phenom.
Okay. Jordan Noberto, who is a free agent. Johnny Peralta of the Tigers. Cesar Perello of the Mets, but he is a minor leaguer, so he has no recourse as far as the Players Association is concerned because he's not a major league player.
Yeah.
So, and of course, Mr. Steroid himself, A-Roid, Alex Rodriguez of the Yankees.
Oh, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, like I mentioned on yesterday's program, we broke the news on Blog Talk Radio about Alex Rodriguez when it happened, when we were still doing our program. It was next to our last program when we did it at 9 a.m. in the morning. The news broke at about 8:50 in the afternoon, so in the big 8:50 in the morning. So when the big arrived, I said, my God, are you listening to this? And we were the first ones to coin the phrase, A-Roid. And we did it that morning. We did it right then and there. Everyone owes NDB Media a lot of money. Every time you use A-Roid, it's ours. Because we were the first ones. We had the recording to prove it. He was not Alex Rodriguez. He was Alex Rodriguez. And we called him A-Roid. We were the first ones. Remember that, Sonny?
I do. I was on air with you.
Yeah, that was big news. We broke it on Blog Talk Radio, and ladies and gentlemen, everyone knows us every time they say A-Roid.
Yep.
Because we have the timestamp on Blog Talk Radio to prove it. We are the first ones to say A-Roid. We didn't write it because we're stupid, but we said it, and that qualifies.
And of course, Major League Baseball, on top of getting stuff from Tony Bosch, they also subpoenaed AT&T, T-Mobile, and Federal Express for all their records.
And apparently they've already provided them.
Yes, they've already provided them. FedEx came out with an official statement saying that any time a subpoena is given to them, they
comply.
They comply and follow it to the letter. So all subpoenas, and of course that is for delivery confirmations to and from Biogenesis to the actual residences of these players. And and phone calls.
It's bad.
Phone calls back and forth.
And oftentimes the people that receive the stuff are the dog. Did you guys hear about that story?
That was me yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, you told that one. The wife, the girlfriend, or the living hoe, I don't know, you know, whichever, but it's rarely ever the name of the player. But it's the same address, and it's amazing. Oftentimes, the player signature is actually on there.
Yeah.
Even though it's for the living hoe. So.
Surprisingly, this came out yesterday. Frank Thomas actually had something to say about this. He was there for the baseball, the first year player draft, and he said that he called the Biogenesis scandal embarrassing for the game and a shameful episode in baseball history. He says he has spoken with numerous Hall of Famers recently while taking part in a series of charity games. He says, and they've all strongly opposed the players linked to performance-enhancing drugs, gaining entry into Cooperstown. He said, quote, they all say, hell no, they do not belong here. He went on to say, they don't want any of these guys in. These guys are super, superstars in my eyes, and they're serious about it. I would suggest you get around. You're going to love this part. I suggest you get around to talking to the Johnny Benches.
Oh, my God.
The Ollie Smith, the Ozzie Smiths.
Oh, my God.
The Dave Winfields and the Mike Schmidt. He said, hold court with them and see how they feel.
Did Frank Thomas actually say this?
Yes.
Oh, come on, Frank.
This is a direct quote. He says, talking to them was very eye-opening. He says, I want the game to be where it's supposed to be. Guys have climbed that mountain for a reason, and that's important to me. To hear the Hall of Famers talk, their legacy is important to them. I respect them for that. That's why I had such feelings for Hank Aaron and those guys coming up. And I wanted to be at the level of the Hall of Fame. He says, when guys take drugs like that, they're not deserving of being on that level. He said, quote, when I played, guys all said, let's go to the Hall of Fame. He said, now guys are like, say, let's go 5 years and make $150 million so that I'm set for life. He says, who cares? I think that's the feeling among most guys now. It's shameful.
Sure.
What's happened over the last 7-8 years in this whole scandal, he says, but guys continue to buy into it. He said, I played against Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, and I know they're Hall of Famers, but they did this at the end of their careers, and it's going to hurt them for life. He says, I believe it's going to hurt them for life, I believe. He said, it's a sad thing because I know how good those guys were. He said, Barry could have been a 500 person, which is home runs and steals, he said, before he started doing the stuff. He said, really, was it necessary? He could have gone down as one of the greatest all-around players of all time, if not the greatest all-around player of all time, if it wasn't for him taking those steroids.
Okay, and before Sonny comments, the interesting thing is Barry Bonds made close to $70 or $80 million after he was taking steroids. So for him to say, is it worth it? I don't know. Barry Bonds is an incredibly wealthy man because of steroids.
Well, I don't think he was talking monetarily, though.
I understand, but the other guy looks at it by saying, yeah, you know what, you're right. Do I be famous and have the adulation of everyone, or I can't buy a cup of coffee, or, you know, I live in my mansion and life is good.
Yeah, I see that, but I don't think it's going to be, I mean, Frank Thomas had never been connected to stories. I don't see him not being able to buy a cup of coffee. He has all the adulation. I mean, he's not the guy saying I can't buy a cup of coffee. So I think what he's trying to say is, why get the easy out? He said, in other words, that's why. But, and what he said about the players now, all they want is the money. I mean, Sonny and I were just talking about that with the NBA players. You know,
yep.
It's the same, it's across the board. You know, these young kids, all they want is money. They don't care about the ultimate prize, which is, that's what people are recognized for as being, as Frank Thomas calls them, the super, superstars. You get that ring, you get that trophy, that's what, you know, designates you as a champion. It doesn't designate you a champion. If you make $200 million in 10 years, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, look. I mean, A-Roy has made that, and he's a champion. But you know,
surely by the time A-Roy's done,
Well, I know. He will have even made, more than that, I know.
Well, no, not actually. He will have made...
Like $1 billion?
No.
Pretty close to it, though.
No. He will have made $275 million from the Yankees, plus another...
50.
No, he didn't earn the whole contract. Remember, he opted out. He will have made probably a $500 million. Yeah, half in earnings.
That's just
who's that?
Yeah. Aroyd.
No, well,
because remember,
actually, Aroyd has made $353,416,252. So $353 million. Yes, that is correct.
Still hold another 115. Yeah, a little less than that.
We'll
say another 110. So, yeah, about $500 million in salary, Sonny, give or take several million.
Over $400 million.
Oh, easily. Closer to $500 million. It is. So, and that's what we said, Sonny. In salary, that's just salary.
That's just salary, yeah. That the number that I got, and I'll put it in the chat room where I got that information, but that number is just salary.
I wasn't arguing with you, Sonny. I
didn't say you were arguing with me. I just happened. It's funny that we mentioned that because I pulled that up as far as who was making the money. As we sit here and we have fun and we do it, I actually had that page up when you guys started talking about that. It's kind of funny.
And what I wanted to ask you, scorekeeper, since you know the rules, the baseball rules back and forth.
Well, Brian knows the rules because he's an umpire.
And we kind of touched on this yesterday. I kind of came in the middle of it, which I had trouble getting in. But as far as, let's say he's convicted, Aroyd, or found guilty of taking these steroids, and, of course, that would result in a 100-game ban, not the 50, but a 100-game, because technically he lied twice, so they connect, which I know the Players Association is going to have a field day with that, the union. That aside, is that enough to nullify his contract?
No. It is not because, number one, these people are stupid because they're handling it within the context of the drug program. When, again, if you look at the rules, it is very clear that if you buy an illicit substance, you can be terminated. But, just buying an illicit substance doesn't mean you can be terminated. I believe you do have to have some sort of a conviction because there can be rumors, and this isn't a real word. Think about it.
I know that.
Yes. So for them to...
Well, that's what I'm saying. If Major League Baseball...
It's not enough.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Because if Major League Baseball, based on what Tony Bosch has said, and say they have the associates that work there and so on and so forth, say, yes, everything he's saying is absolutely true, blah, 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 all this and that. So Major League Baseball finds him guilty of not only buying, but taking these illegal substances.
Under the rules, there are several things
that people do get convicted for circumstantial.
There are several things you have to consider. And number one is you basically have to have this is why I'm saying that under the contract they've got him. But they're using this through the drug program, and it doesn't apply because you have to have a positive. You have to test positive to be suspended 50 games. That's the thing, or in this case, 100. You see, it just makes baseball look good that they're saying this.
Didn't he test positive in the original testing from five years ago or something like that?
Well, again.
That was never revealed.
Again. That was, apparently he tested positive, but it was under a professional program where they said do more than 5% of the players test positive. And I believe it was somewhere in the 10% range. So they said, okay, because they tested in that range, it was supposedly anonymous, we will now have mandatory drug testing. That's what that was about. And the way it works in the drug program, you have to have a positive test.
But kind of in their hip pocket that he gets the positive. Even though I said we're not going to use it, but it's still there. So, I mean, I know there's a lot of, I mean, the Union's going to have a field day. His Lord's going to have a field day. And that, you see, but baseball is trying to score points in the public opinion. It would be very stupid for the Yankees to try to nullify this contract, because what will happen is A-Rod will be without money for a little while, and then he's going to get it back and damages. You know, it's not going
to
it will be smart.
In your opinion, are the Yankees looking for a way out together?
Well, George Steinbrenner would not have done that.
You've heard of a parking place, dude?
I'm sorry, Brian, what was that? Are you having trouble parking this morning?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't even know I was on. I'm talking to this idiot. This idiot sitting over here not letting
mute.
Me by.
You got to love mute.
What the hell are they talking about? Yeah.
I'm about to kick somebody's ass on air. I'm glad y'all said so.
Brian, we can continue on air violence. I like it.
I like it.
I'm in the South, man. You know, that's all we have is violence. Keep us going.
Hey, by the way, Matt, have you noticed that there is a subtle difference between my Southern voice, where I mock Southerners, and when I mock the illiterate?
Matt or Brian?
Matt, this is Brian.
Oh, you said Matt.
I said Matt?
Yes.
Screw it. Hey, whoever you are.
Southern.
Yeah, you Southerner. Have you noticed a difference between my mocking the Southern people and mocking the illiterate? There is a difference, isn't there, Brian?
I haven't paid any attention. I don't know.
Oh, sheesh. All right.
Even your guys.
Even my guy. After the big dog, even my guy did you wrong.
Well, here we go. Because I was doing the voice. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Am I doing a Southern voice or am I doing an illiterate voice? I'm going to be okay. I'm okay now. But put myself in this situation, I have to deal with everything. With life, I'm at peace with everything. I would love to
That's
see
illiterate.
My career. Thank you. Thank you. That was the illiterate voice. See, he knew it. My Southern voice
that was the illiterate Southerner.
No, I'm not the illiterate Southerner. But I do have an illiterate Southerner. But my Southerner is a little happier and slower, if you believe it.
A little more twang in your voice?
A little bit more twang. You see, there it is. My twang. When I'm doing Southerner, you see, that's my Southerner right there. It's a lot happier. See, but when I do the illiterate one...
That's Tennessee voice.
I can't tell. I don't know where it's from. I just know that one's the illiterate and one's
the
Southerner.
Well, Brian's in the South. Who's more stupid? Where are they more stupid?
Oh, my God. Hey, Brian, are you going to beat the crap out of this?
Mississippi, Tennessee,
where, who by God, Kentucky.
Oh, my God.
But were you guys able to hear my Southern voice? It is a lot happier, and there is more time
to
it.
Kentucky, you know, that's where you have your father, brother, uncle, and they're all the same person.
Father, brother, uncle, and they're all the same person.
You never have to hear Southern people repeat themselves because we talk slow enough where you can hear it.
That's right. That's what I was talking about. My Southern voice is a lot happier. That's my Southern voice. That's why a Southern man will pick out my illiterate voice as opposed to my just Southern one. It's my Southern one. It's a lot happier.
I can tell the difference.
Yes, you said illiterately.
Well, because you sound like that. She's talking like that. You sound South Kakalaki.
South Kakalaki. Sorry, Brian.
South Carolina, when I went down there for those 2 weeks.
You got what I need.
They are the nicest people I have ever met. Every single person down there has manners.
South Carolina.
Every person. It was unbelievable.
You're damn right.
It's true.
We have manners. Well, yeah, we have manners because if we don't, we'll get killed as a kid by our parents.
Yep, and you know, and it was refreshing. I mean, I was brought up with manners because, you know, that was the same way. You know, I was raised by Mexicans. You know, as Roger was.
Really?
If we did something wrong, oh boy, we found out about it right away. We didn't do it again.
Yes, we did, and our parents were stated that when we fell down. The biggest joke was, oh, come on over here so I can pick you up. And like idiots, we picked ourselves up and went over a hug.
That's what those are his kind of parents. They're sadists. They're like, oh, you fell? Oh, come on over here.
You know, Southerners are the nicest people. I mean, I was there, and I told so many people that. I mean, every single man there, you know, said, you know, if they were wearing hats, they tipped their hats to the women, opened the door, say ma'am to everybody. I mean, it was just, I was thrown aback.
And ladies, this is a moment of the story that I tell everyone. Every
and liquor is really cheap there.
Yeah, liquor is very cheap. ladies and gentlemen, this was in the 1989 after the World Series on October 18th. You all know that was a year of a horrible hurricane. It was Hurricane Hugo that devastated South Carolina. Absolutely devastated. I mean, the people lost absolutely everything. And it was sad. Hurricane Hugo was a nasty mother effer. And the San Francisco earthquake took place in October 18th. And you know, a lot of people in San Francisco lost everything too. And there was a moment when it was reported here in the Los Angeles News. And I remember it was Channel 7. They said, guys, can you imagine this? This just happened. You guys know what happened down there in the South? Well, apparently one of the care centers in San Francisco just received a package from South Carolina. It was from the people of South Carolina to San Francisco. They were sending food, clothing, and supplies for the people of San Francisco. And the news reporter said, they don't have anything in San Francisco. They lost it all. Can you imagine? People in San Francisco are now suffering, and what little they now have, they sent it to San Francisco. That is un-effing believable. And I never forgot that, guys. South Carolina, they got hit, devastated by a hurricane, but yet when someone else got hurt, they were willing to what little they had just received to send it to other people. By God, ladies and gentlemen, that's unbelievable. I never forgot that.
Good morning, coffee! Oh my God. Coffee says, Roger was raised by Mexicans? I thought he was...
So... Yeah, you didn't hear what the big dog just said, but no, he said he must have been talking to your inside source, Rod. That's probably why I thought you were blind. Yes, it is world renowned that my inside source is world renowned, but no, I'm a Mexican. I'm sorry, I'm Hispanic. And, yeah. Morning, coffee.
You big dick.
Going back in a big circle back, Mr. Frank Thomas.
I got such a lot of multiples.
What did you think about what Thomas had to say?
I'm so pissed off with this Johnny Fincher and Mike Schmitz of the world. That's stupid. Oh.
You know, he started out really well and did that.
Yeah.
And then cleaned it back up again and went really well again.
I think he's a Hall of Famer. Flat out. The Big Hurt is a Hall of Famer.
And he's on the Dallas this December along with a couple of others.
He may not make it right away, but he is. That guy, the Big Hurt, every... You know, guys, when you watch sports, we as fans, we know the difference. We hear and see a lot of stuff. But there's always that one player, and even as a fan, you're like, oh, man, that's not the guy you want to see. It actually puts a little bit of fear in you. And I remember when he used to come up to bat, especially against the Yankees, I got nervous. I did not like watching the Big Hurt coming up to bat against my Yankees because he always ripped the crap out of us. He ripped the crap out of everyone. Frank Thomas was one of those few guys that when he came up, people got nervous. And very few people say that.
Yeah, they played at Auburn, Roger, by the way.
What a coinkydink.
What a coinkydink.
Probably him and Tim Hudson are the two best to ever come out.
Really? Didn't Bo Jackson play at Auburn?
Oh, yeah, exactly. But he wasn't. He didn't have the career in baseball like Frank Thomas or Tim Hudson. He had a good period. He was a great baseball player, but he didn't play long enough.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder what though. I mean, it's always one of the coulda, shoulda.
Yep.
But you know,
that hip injury.
Had he not had that hip injury, what could he have done either on the football
or even if he decides just to go in one sport, what kind
it,
of
it'd have been the best of all time. It'd have been the best of all time, no matter what he played. I mean, this kid never picked up a weight, and he looked like the Hulk. I mean, he's just so athletic, and that freak injury. This was a freak injury. It was actually, he was so strong is why he actually got injured. So, guys, if you can hit a home run in an All-Star game to lead off and score a touchdown, I mean, that's amazing.
We all saw that one, 1986.
I think that ball is still flying.
So yep. Was that Rick Russell or?
Yes, very good. I was about to say that. It was Rick Russell that he hit it off. He just grooved it, baby. And everyone forgets that year, the first two hitters hit a home run to start off, and the American League won that game. Does anyone remember who was the guy that followed him?
Everybody just remembers that one hit because it was a monster.
Does everyone remember who followed him? Come on, real quick. Wade Boggs. Dumbass.
I know. That's why I went national.
Yeah. All right. That's good. Ladies and gentlemen, I saw that game where Bo Jackson went down.
It was a nothing tackle.
And then Marcus Allen replaced him, and all the sports reporters right after him were saying, Marcus, how was it when Bo went down? What pressure were you under? Blah, 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 and this. I mean, because, you know, the Raiders won that game, shockingly. And I remember what Marcus Allen said. Pressure? How are you talking about? All those guys in the Persian Gulf are the ones that have pressure right now. And the war had just started in the Persian Gulf. It was in late January. And Marcus Allen said, I don't have pressure. Those guys over there fighting in the Persian Gulf have pressure. It was 1991, boys. Late January. Look it up.
One of my favorites, Bo Jackson memories, is when he took
out... Oh, no, spaghetti!
When he took out Brian Bosworth.
I remember that.
That was so
funny. My God. Brian was a great equalizer.
Yeah, the supposed great equalizer. But then at the same time, I mean, yes, I think Bo Jackson was nailed, bowled him over anyways. But the fact that he's standing there, standing still, and Bo Jackson... Like a train, you weren't going to be able to
that ended Brian Bosworth's career, by the way. He was one of those immortals almost. And once that happened, I never saw the bitch again.
Yep. You know, you're right. But like I said, I don't think there would have been anybody that could have stopped him with the full head of steam and you're standing still. I mean, Bo weighed in, what, about 250, 260 at the time?
Yeah, all muscle.
Yeah, exactly. And Brian Bosworth, I mean, yeah, he had some talent and stuff, but like I said, standing still, you're not going to stop someone like that. You're going to do exactly what
he should have tried the Olé.
Holy cow, Herschel's the only one I've ever seen that could match with Bo. I mean, Herschel Walker was another one of those running backs that could run you over and not even think twice about it.
Those Southern boys, man, they, I don't know what you guys feed them down there.
Beans
and
taters,
I remember the first. Yeah, but did the Herschel Walker? Didn't the Dallas Cowboys rip off Minnesota or someone in one of the greatest one-sided trades of all time?
I think so.
You guys remember that? Who was it that traded for Herschel Walker? Dallas had him.
Oh, there goes
for the
Minnesota.
Eagles.
Was it Minnesota?
It was Minnesota.
Hey, Brian. Coffee's got a comment for you about Herschel Walker. He says Herschel Walker was a great college player, but he sucked balls in the NFL.
Yeah, but tell you the truth, he could play NFL football right now at his age, as good a shape as he's in. He just got in the wrong place. He left Georgia 1 year too early and didn't go to the NFL because I guess they couldn't due to his age or anything. But I'll tell you what, Herschel Walker is one of the top five running backs of all time. I don't give a damn what he did in the NFL.
As a matter of fact, thank you, Coffee. That was lightning fast. He put the details. I remember that trade. It was, I think, one of the biggest one-sided trades ever.
I
think that there were some details that I think the Minnesota team was going to falter and the league had to intervene or something was there, but it was, and he's looking at it, let me check, to 7 players and 6 draft picks, or 6 players and 7 picks. Coffee's going to check it out right now. One of the greatest lopsided trades of all time. because Dallas became a winner after that. And Minnesota faded in obscurity for decades. I'll be right back, Big Dog, if you don't mind.
Okay. So,
I saw Herschel in college, and when I watched him play, he played at the same time as Bo Jackson. Those two, I mean, could you imagine those two in the same backfield coming at you, running the option maybe, having those two, best two college running backs of all time right there? No doubt. There's nobody close. College. I said college.
Yeah. Couch, any comments on that?
No, I Herschel Walker was just one of these guys that maintained what I call a silent greatness. Yes, the trade was huge. There's no question about that. There were about seven or eight people involved when it came to that trade. I'm looking at it right now as far as what that was done. But I'm going to tell you, this guy wasn't like, one of these guys that play now. He's got a big ego and things of that sort. No. This guy was a very kind, he was kind of a humble dude and didn't show his ass. And that's one of the reasons why he's probably one of the most beloved running backs in NFL history. Reminds me of three guys. I mean, Walter Payton, Barry Sanders, and Herschel Walker. I think you can mention all in the same breath. One of the top three running backs in the NFL.
There you go, Brian.
I agree. Did you say Eric Dickerson? Who did you say, Eric Dickerson, Sonny?
No, I didn't. Walter Payton and Barry Sanders. I mean, you didn't see Herschel Walker making an ass of himself in the end zone. He just handed the ball off or just set it down on the ground. Herschel Walker wasn't, in the big games when he was playing for, in the playoffs he did, but the regular season, that's just part of business. And that was one of the things I liked about Herschel Walker.
Yeah, he was the nicest person off the field, but on the field, he was a bastard. All Bo Jackson did was sit around and sleep with every woman around at Auburn. That's all. That's what he did at Auburn. I don't know how he was so good at football. He never left his dorm room except to come to practice, baseball practice. I remember, and he would pull up on like a Harley. He wasn't supposed to be riding it around campus because the coaches bought it for him. And all he did was sleep with women and come and hit home runs during practice. That's all he ever did. So Herschel Walker.
Hey man, when you got a talent, you got a talent.
I mean, I'm talking about. I'm hearing stories about every woman in college that he wanted would come in. I'm talking 6-7 girls a night.
He followed the Magic Johnson book of doing women, huh?
Yeah, and he couldn't speak in college. I don't know if y'all remember that. He couldn't really speak. He had a bad speech impediment, and then now he does public speaking. Yep. Just a great man,
wow.
Bo Jackson.
Oh, something wrong here, scorekeeper.
I heard Bo Jackson a great man. I don't. I'm sorry. I went tone deaf. But anyway, this is coffee, dude. See you right away, guys. Think about this. Let's go back to the trade real quick. This is unbelievable. The Minnesota Vikings received running back Herschel Walker. Dallas' third-round pick, 1990, was Michael Jones. San Diego's fifth-round pick, Reggie Thornton. Dallas' tenth-round pick, Pat Newman. And Dallas' third-round pick, 1991, Jake Reed. The Cowboys received linebacker Jesse Solomon, linebacker David Howard, cornerback Isaac Holt, running back Darren Nelson, traded to San Diego after he refused to report to Dallas, and defensive end Alex Stewart. Minnesota's first-round pick in 1990, the 21st overall, damn, he got it all. I'll continue. He took the time to write this. Traded this pick with pick 81 for pick 17 from Pittsburgh to draft Emmitt Smith. Minnesota's second-round pick in 1990, the 47th overall, Alexander Wright. Minnesota's sixth-round pick in 1990, traded to New Orleans to draft James Williams. Minnesota's first-round pick in 91, which was conditional, they got Alvin Harper. Minnesota's second-round pick in 91, which was conditional, number 38 overall, Dixon Edwards. Minnesota's second-round pick in 1992, conditional. The 37th overall, Darren Woodson. Minnesota's third-round pick in 1992, conditional.
traded to New England, who drafted Kevin Turner, and Minnesota's first round pick in 1993 conditional. 13th overall traded to the Philadelphia Eagles and then to the Houston Oilers, who drafted Brad Hopkins number one. Wow! Kicked the holy living crap out of Minnesota on that one. That was unbelievable. Un-freaking-believable. And thank you, Copy. Whether you typed it in or copied and pasted, I don't care. That still took work on your part. And very much appreciate it. Hell yeah! So that was, wow.
Google is an awesome tool.
It worked. I put it out there, and Copy was like, bam! Already had it back for us.
With all this that Copy put in, that gives them at least 4 or 5 insults that he can have for you.
Yeah, you're entitled to at least 5 of them, Copy. Go for it. Oh, by the way, did the Copy say that football is like a pussy sport or something? And he knows so much about football.
We haven't heard from Barney Lover 29 in a while. Where is he at?
Where is Barney Lover 29? Oh, he says, I mean ESP. It was ESPN. No, he said he was ESP. Yeah, I said it and bam, it was there. Oh, no.
Let me Copy and I are finishing each other's sentences.
That's scary.
It is very scary. What people don't realize that, one night, the Pope War is always going on, and I had gone on hiatus, and all of a sudden, I was up at like 1:30 or 2 in the morning, and I said, all right, I'll get Copy. I'll get that bastard. So I poked him. 4 minutes later, the Pope comes back. Oh, what the hell? Are you ever asleep? And Copy did tell me, says, I just happened to get home from work. I got it. I figured I'd finally get him in a poke where he would at least sit on it for about 40 minutes or an hour. And no, that little rat bastard was right back.
And, you know, I want to take a minute because I'm down about 15 more minutes before I have to leave. But what I did want to talk about, a couple of things. One of them, of course, is we're on football. Both these are football related. But, of course, the leader of the Fearsome Foursome back in the 70s, Mr., and I will call him Mr. because he was a badass MF, Mr. Deacon Jones, unfortunately passed away at 74. And, of course, he is credited with terming the word sack. So the word sack came from Deacon Jones. Of course, he was the leader of the Fearsome Foursome, which, of course, was Deacon Jones, Merlin Olsen, Rosie Greer, and Lamar Lundy. That was the Fearsome Foursome of the Rams. They were up there with the Steel Curtain and the Purple People Eaters back in the day. Those were fun times when you could actually name, you know, your defensive line. And great guy. I mean, I heard interviews with him. He did a lot of stuff later on in life to help out underprivileged people. And great player, a Hall of Famer. And he ended up with the most sacks, I think, credited for the Rams, and he still had that. No one knows exactly how many sacks he had because sacks were not listed.
1981.
So everybody feels unofficially that he is the all-time sack leader because of the amount of sacks that he had, but, you know, wasn't kept back then, so no one knows. But, hardly, you know, there are condolences go out to his family, but great, great player. He was before my time. But I've seen film on him and heard stories about him. Either you guys ever seen him or saw a film on him? Couch?
Well, actually, he termed the phrase sack, and if it's believed, he's the sack leader, of course, Lawrence Taylor. He blew that number, you know, officially off I forget the number for Lawrence Taylor, but I have read that Deacon Jones, before they started keeping track of that stat, had doubled what Lawrence Taylor have ever done. So, definitely one of the bigger sack leaders in the NFL. So there you go. So,
you know, it's a shame because you would think that if the way the game of football is played, the league could get experts from the league and players to go back.
Yeah, but
watch the game.
But there might not be game film on every single game, though.
That is true. So, but in the, well, come on, the 70s and 80s, yes, there is.
Well, this would have been early, late 60s, early 70s.
But I'm saying go back as far as you can.
They have. And
but the statistic came official in 81.
Yes.
What about prior to that? Apparently they haven't.
Well, no, they yeah, but since they officially made it at that point, they can't backtrack.
Yes, you can. That's
well,
what I'm
you
saying.
You can, but they're not going to officially give it to them.
I understand it, but I'm saying that you could actually do that. You could actually go back and...
Well, yeah, that's why he's saying. That's why he's saying what Lawrence Taylor had, Deacon Jones at least doubled it, or probably even more than doubled it. But since
yeah.
the stat wasn't official until 1981, that's why I said he's unofficially known as the all-time sack leader. It's just like Bill Russell. Everybody feels Bill Russell is the all-time shot blocker, but shot block didn't come into a stat until, I believe it was the mid-70s.
Yes.
Because I think the first couple of years, Kareem's blocks weren't credited either. I mean, at the time Kareem retired, he exited as the all-time shot blocker, which, of course,
okay.
he didn't pass number five. But I think the first 2 years or the first 3 years, there's no shot blocks because they weren't kept as a statistic then.
I got the number that they estimate that he had 173.5 sacks.
Oh, my Lord. What did Lawrence Taylor walk out with? Like 60?
Yeah, I'm looking that up now.
Yeah,
I think
it's pretty incredible.
I think it's like 50 or something, you know, something like that.
Well, get 50.5, 60.
Let me grab that up. And Lawrence Taylor, here it is. Lawrence Taylor sacks 1,088.
Sacks 1,088.
And I'm sorry, I'm sorry. It's 1,735 sacks. I apologize. Is what
Lawrence
they
Taylor?
Think. And Lawrence, no. And Lawrence Taylor has 1,088. So he's got probably 600 more sacks. Is what they're saying.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And that's what I was alluding to, that if anyone, you could easily go back and see.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, even that's just a guess, because not every game is on film, or every play is on film.
So, ladies and gentlemen, since we are talking football, and it is a rarity when we do have him on, it's been a little while, I'm not going to do the intro again, because we already did it. I'm not going to sing twice for him. Solomon Walters. Hey, buddy. How you doing, pal? How you feeling?
Hey, is this ESPN?
Yes, it is.
You waited 18 minutes to ask that question?
How you doing?
Oh, crap. You know what? I'm sorry. Let me get that. Let me just interrupt really quick. I apologize. 173 sacks for Deacon Jones. 173.5. I was reading it right. And 132 sacks for Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah, I know. But you know what, Couch Potato, it's okay. I'm not going to go on air and say, are you sure about that, Couch Potato? I'm going to have to check that.
No, I was looking at the wrong line. So.
Oh, most definitely. Take out that extra zero, pal.
That's what we do. That's funny. Saul, how you doing, pal? You now know that Deacon Jones passed away. The fearsome foursome, dude. Is this why you wanted to become a Ram again, or this is why you're a Ram now? Why are you a St. Louis Ram now? Tell us.
Well, it's like this. I was a Ram fan until they moved out of L.A. when I was a kid, so I went to the Oilers, who defected to Tennessee, and I stuck with them. And now they don't have any desire to win because we have a relic running the team. I decided to stick with Fisher and see what the Rams do.
Wow.
Scorekeeper.
Yes? Yes, Big Dog?
Did Solomon go to the William Shatner School of Speech?
No, he went to the school how to piss off Roger Noriega because he knows he likes to talk slow and he deliberately pauses. So, yeah, I guess he did go to the William Shatner School. But he does it on purpose because we always go to Saul and there's that eternal 2 second pause. And he does that and he knows it grates on me. So, yeah, he went to the William Shatner School on how to piss off Roger Noriega.
And, of course, I'll live here for some.
But wait.
You fucker.
You see? You see? He does it on purpose. Yes, Paul? What?
You son of a...
Well, what I was about to say was, of the fearsome foursome, three of them have passed away. The only one
living... Oh, we lost them!
The only one living is Rosie Greer. He is the only one of the fearsome foursome still alive. I believe he is 82 years old now.
Yeah. And he's in bad shape. Oh,
yeah, excuse me. Rosie Greer is 80 years old, and he's the only surviving member. The other person I wanted to talk about, I got like 5 minutes before I have to leave.
We lost Brian. That's who we lost.
Okay. Is Jim Kelly. Of course, we talked about that. He has cancer of the jaw. It's a melanoma cancer in his upper jaw that they found very early. He had surgery yesterday. I'll give you the update in a moment. Tests showed that he had cancer that's isolated in his jaw and did not spread to other parts of his body. So they had to remove part of his upper jaw and then reconstruct. This is an update as of yesterday. It says doctors anticipate Jim Kelly will have a quote successful outcome, after the Hall of Fame quarterback had surgery on Friday. So the surgery went very well, according to a news release by Buffalo's Erie County Medical Center where he had the surgery. It says, we are hopeful for and anticipate a speedy recovery and a successful outcome. So the release was issued just before noon, shortly after the operation was completed by Dr. Tom Laurie, the hospital's director of the head and neck surgery department. Because during the operations, doctors said they removed part of Kelly's jawbone where the squamous cell carcinoma,
Stop swearing, dude.
It was found and caused chronic irritation of the gum site. So the doctors then reconstructed the affected area. Says Mr. Kelly is recovering comfortably at this time, and he will remain here at the hospital until he feels comfortable enough to go home. So, they caught it early. He's 50 years old, and very surprised when it first came out earlier in the week. But like I said, they caught it early, and the surgery was almost immediate. I mean, it was like 4 days later. And hopefully everything comes out fine. I mean, that's a major surgery. I mean, to have your upper jaw taken out.
And while we're on that, I was reminded, I have several announcements right now, ladies and gentlemen. I think he's going to be joining us soon. He is going on his last intercontinental trip. TZ, the traveling man. He says he is of the retirement age. He is leaving this month. He's going to go to Middle America, and he's going to be calling us.
Is that like Middle Earth?
Middle Earth, yes. Very, yeah. He actually worked at Middle Earth for a long time, but that's neither here nor there. He's going to be joining us soon. I don't think he's going to join us today, but TZ is on his last one. But I bring it up because TZ was diagnosed with cancer this year, and it was discovered quickly. And when the big dog said that about it being discovered quickly, I mentioned TZ. Our thoughts and prayers were with him. He was going there 3 days a week for cancer treatment, and I believe they did catch it, and he's making a full recovery.
That's good. Just on a side note, real quick.
Yes.
How long were you associated with him at the workplace?
I knew him from the very first day I was hired on November 12th, 1991.
Yeah.
I met him. So he retired in September of 1996.
Oh, okay. So you worked with him for 5 years.
A little less than 5 years. And I worked directly for him about 3 years directly, maybe three and a half.
Okay, so since you worked directly...
He was my supervisor.
Since you worked under him...
I was very much under him.
How was he as a boss?
He was too damn nice.
Oh, was he? Okay, I was just wondering, because I mean, he's such a nice guy.
He was too damn nice.
I was wondering,
he let me get away with everything.
No,
I love that man.
No, but I'm saying, you know, there's nice people away from the workplace, and then they're just totally... You know what I'm talking about, though.
Yes, I do.
And he was not that person.
What you see is what you get. He was the same thing. He was a decent supervisor. I can say this all honesty because he'll tell you the truth as to how good or how bad of a supervisor he was. I'm not implying that he was bad. He was a good man. He was a good man. He was one of those that led by example. I work,
that's
you work.
That's right.
And that's the thing. He let me get away with bloody murder. And I know there were times when I pissed him off. But, hey, you know what? That's Roger. Roger's Roger.
Well, it'll be good to hear from him and his first command.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, his chief engineer. I also want to announce that Evelyn Arzola, it's her birthday today. So I want to get those announcements in before I forget anything else. So, Ray Noriega's birthday is June 15th. And Lisette, my cousin's June 15th. Wow. So happy birthday to you guys as well. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and continue.
Since you're talking about family, I want to comment. I see your...
Roger pissing someone off? Unheard of, says Solomon Walters.
I saw your daughter's pictures on Facebook of all her friends from her last day at school.
Oh, I haven't seen those yet. I haven't.
Okay, never mind that.
But, yeah, she posted a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Very nice pictures.
Very nice pictures indeed. We are short on time, but, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's ever so appropriate. I want to put in my Star Trek line. You know, my favorite number is 47.
Is it?
Yes, it is, for Star Trek. Saul, I'm glad you're here with us.
What is 47?
Brian is not here with us, but Sonny is here with us. Tomorrow is the big day for the big dog. And if you guys are willing to do it, I am too.
No, you're not.
I want to sing happy birthday to Big Dog. No bullshit, I got the phone. Ladies and gentlemen, he's trying to take the phone from me. It is the Big Dog's birthday tomorrow, and I've known the Big Dog since about February or March. No, actually, I think it was either April or May. In
when he first came in, bro, who are those guys?
1988. Yeah.
Yeah,
and actually, Greblo sent me over. But I want to wish Big Dog a happy birthday. Here it is. I'm going to go and do it. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Peter. Happy birthday to you. You're 47 now, dude.
I will be 47 tomorrow, yes.
Congratulations, Peter. Did you know some of these rat bastards didn't sing with me?
Oh, is that what that was?
This rat bastard knows he can't sing.
I can't sing either. But,
I do have to say, this is just a story. The best birthday singing I ever got
was from Lupe?
You know,
you wish. I do too.
I'll name him now. I mean, Roger knows him.
Paramo?
Jesse called me one morning on my birthday, and Jesse sang to me like Marilyn Monroe.
Literally.
Marilyn
Monroe.
The whole whispering, real.
Oh my God.
Yes. He's like, happy birthday.
Yes.
The whole thing, I was tearing up laughing. And he did the entire song.
Oh, my God. Jesse's soccer fan.
Yes.
He did that?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That is funny.
That was hilarious. That was so, so funny. Thank you for that. Yes, I am turning 47 tomorrow. I have no idea what my children have planned for me. They say they have plans, so we'll see.
Okay, here we go, Big Dog. In honor of you, hold on a minute.
Is it the Barney happy? Oh, see that? I want the Barney song.
No, you don't.
I want the Barney happy birthday song.
Shut up. Here we go.
Oh, damn it. Jim, come
here. Here
comes Jim.
Thank you. Here we go. Listen.
The drummer is the drumming from the Tuesday. That's the session.
Marilyn Monroe, ladies and gentlemen.
A room in the bathroom. A truly amazing sex. He needs no instruction. Let me just say. Here she is.
No, she's not coming up. There she is. Yeah, this is when no one knew that they were fooling around. Come on, Marilyn, hurry up and sing. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, for the sound quality.
And you know what happened? And you know what was even more interesting that no one ever knows about?
And how uncomfortable he was.
No, after that, she blew out the candle.
Sonny Clark, did you hear that?
I heard it, yes.
Wow. Saul, would you have liked it had she blown out the candle for you? You're a jackass, Saul.
You gotta go.
All right, big dog. Happy birthday. Hope you have a great day, man.
Sonny, you have a show tomorrow?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I'm just not sure what time.
Okay, I'll keep checking.
Yeah, I gotta get right, with Pop.
Cuervo?
Cuervo, yeah, that's his name.
Wow.
You know, it was funny, on Facebook Mobile anyways, when I saw your message about setting up the show from yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you see where Cuervo's messages come from?
Chicago.
Yeah, Hoffman in the States.
Yeah, hopping in the States. I was like, what the hell?
He got money.
No kid. I didn't know he had that kind of, I didn't know he had that kind of money.
Just don't reveal that to anyone, but yeah,
don't tell anyone.
Yeah, don't tell anyone that his messages come from Hoffman Estates.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Well, here's another one that's kind of funny. What's his name? We have another guy who was doing a program with us for a while, and his are from Bel Air, California. Even the big dog said, who the hell do you know in Bel Air? No, this is up by San Francisco.
The other Bel Air.
Yeah, the other Bel Air.
Just like Hulk Hogan, you know, Hogan could never make it in the real Hollywood, so of course he had to move to Hollywood, Florida.
Oh, that's funny. Oh,
I never
knew
that. I never knew that. I thought that the Hulk Hogan Hollywood was all about him being in the movies and stuff.
Oh, so you never did noted that?
I never noted that.
I heard his place that he just opened up is really, really bad. He opened
oh,
up a
the
restaurant
surf shop?
Yeah, it's. I guess he's got a restaurant, and I guess even before they opened it up, everybody gave it bad reviews.
Oh, man.
Or the opening weekend or something or other, everybody was saying that they ran out of food in the middle of the service, and the waiters and waitresses didn't know what the menu was.
Where's Gordon Ramsay?
Very good. Hogan's a mess.
Oh, yeah, he
I
is
hear
a
he
mess.
Wants, I hear he wants to wrestle again.
Really?
Hey,
he
wants
later,
to
man.
Wrestle because he wants to make a little money. That's his problem.
Yeah, I apologize. Hey, Matt Alvarez, see you later. Have a good day. He's going to watch The Fast and the Furious 6. Hope you have fun.
Why?
Michelle Rodriguez is in it, isn't she?
I've never seen anyone.
Didn't she die?
I've never seen
one?
Any one of them.
Oh, I've seen like the first two or three.
I didn't see any of them.
It's okay. You know, the kids like it, so whatever.
Yeah, now they take out a tank with a Ferrari. Yeah, real believable, even for Hollywood.
Yeah, I'll remember that next time Kirk says, Ray Shields, stand by to go to warp speed.
Yeah, but it's science fiction all the way through, though. You know that going in. There's
not when Jar Jar Abrams is involved.
There's no such thing as stations right now, so that do warp speed. That do warp speed.
Wow.
That's cool. Well, yeah, but it's not here now, whereas Fast and Furious is here now. It's supposed to be stuff that you can do now. And I don't think there could be a Ferrari that can take out a tank. But anyways.
Thank you, Coffee.
Dwayne Johnson is the crappiest character in the movie.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's why I laugh every time they say, Dwayne Johnson, the number one action star in the world.
Wow. Okay, yeah, you're right. For kiddie movies, there's a lot of them.
Ladies, no, not anymore. Not anymore. He's
grown up.
He finished his Disney contract. That's what it was.
He made a lot of movies.
They all sucked. That Tooth Fairy one, oh my God. That's so bad.
I thought the scene with Billy Crystal was kind of funny when he was screwing with him.
Yeah. I mean, if you do the kids movie, the one where he was a football player with a little girl, I thought that one was okay.
Yeah, my daughter's like that one.
Who that?
Sonny Clark is back.
Hey,
yeah, I had something go. My phone went a little crazy, so it disconnected me.
Quit downloading porn on your phone.
Yeah, something like that.
All right, Big Dog. Enjoy your day. Thank you, Big Dog. It was a thrill having you here for 37 more minutes than you said you would be.
Yeah, I'm off to Gardena.
All right, well, get it done.
For like 5 minutes.
Shut up. Don't say that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If you're getting paid the whole day, shut up.
No.
Well, fine. You're going to be Kraven Jam from 6:30 this morning.
An hour and a half each way.
You the man.
Hour and a half each way and, okay, 15 minutes.
Are you supposed to work like 4 hours minimum?
No, it doesn't work that way with them.
Oh, with them. I thought it was federal labor law.
No.
Actually, federal labor law says that you have to work 2 hours minimum before they can send you home. No, that is federal labor law. Well, don't shake your head, no.
Well, no, only because Pizza Hut doesn't do that. And I'll put Pizza Hut on blast.
They have to. If you report to work and say, I'm sorry, we don't need you here. No, they were.
Oh, then you're going to love this one. Sorry, guys. You're going to love this one. I've had, as you know, two of my children work for Pizza Hut.
I did not know this. That two of them did. And you one did.
Well, that's surprising.
I didn't know Janelle had a job.
Oh, she's almost a year now. She's a cook.
I did not know that.
Anyway, they had brought her in and said, oh, you know, we don't need you right now. Go sit in the back, and in a couple hours, we'll call you.
Oh, no.
And
that's a labor law violation.
And they do that regularly. And they've also had her where she comes in, clocks in, let's say, at 5 o'clock, and it's so dead, they got it's 6 o'clock. You know what? Go ahead, clock out and go home.
No, you got to work 2 hours. Well, you know, they can actually send her home, but they have to pay her 2 hours.
No.
That's against the law. That's a labor law violation.
So many.
Yeah, I know. The employers can do whatever they want in this climate. Thank God we don't have video in here, Big Dog. I believe it. But, yeah, those are labor law violations.
I thought so, too, but evidently they say no.
Yeah, it's because no one enforces it.
I know, I told
you. Actually, if the corporation were to find out, they'd be pretty pissed. You can't do that because, you know who gets hit? The corporation gets hit.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know how they would because you figure someone checked.
Because kids don't know.
No, I'm saying corporate check timesheets.
Yeah, corporate doesn't care. Corporate doesn't care because if there's no problem, really, corporate doesn't give a damn until they get nailed.
No, I'm saying they should check and say, and maybe call and say, you know what, you shouldn't be doing this because if you get caught, you know, we're liable.
Corporate doesn't care until they get nailed.
Yeah.
So anyway, these are alleged federal labor law violations. It does come. Oh, go ahead,
favor
loan.
It's
an option. How about that? Pizza Hut to the world. You're a dick. Take yourselves off mute, kids.
What? What?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, well, thank you, Big Dog. We shall see you.
I'm here.
In a little while. I know I have Solomon still on with us, and of course, turning another hour now. Big Dog's on his way out. Again, I do want to welcome everyone. Oh, Big Dog's going to call in on the way home. Or on the way to work. I want to welcome Into Knowledge in the chat room. Thanks for joining us. If you do have a program here on Blog Talk Radio, go ahead and just let us know, and we'll give you some play on air. If you guys want to call in, you know what to do. The number is 347-637-2306. So what's up, Sonny? What's going on?
Nothing, just surfing the web, just surfing the web and listening to the show and finding out some good news like Terrell Pryor's 2008-10 ring is up on eBay.
Terrell is on? Really?
Terrell Pryor's was up on eBay. I'm not sure when thing ended, the actual auction ended, but I think it's ended now. Yeah.
Hey, Saul, if you had the chance to own a bit of memorabilia from sports history and stuff, would you go for Terrell Pryor's jockstrap, or would you, like, go for Jeff Fisher's? I'm just curious. If you had a chance to own some sort of sports memorabilia, what would it be, Saul?
Well, Rogers' championship ring, but there isn't one.
That is so true. But, ladies and gentlemen, if anyone did, anyone present, if anyone actually did see me play varsity baseball, it was Saul. And every time Saul did see me play varsity baseball in high school, I was usually talking to him through the fence because I was left bench.
Right, Saul? Still has butt prints in it.
Butt prints. Yeah, but if anyone actually did see me play ball, it was Saul right here. So I'm proud of that. You guys know that Solomon and I were classmates in high school. You know that, right, Sonny?
I did know that. Yes, I did.
I didn't know that.
You're an idiot. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's see. The big dog is not calling in, so we have him back. And he is calling in from somewhere in en route to Gardena. Hi, big dog. Happy birthday again, pal.
Thank you. How's it going?
He's got his Bluetooth in.
Yes, I do. It's the same one that Scorekeeper has.
Oh,
no, but yours
fancy.
Actually works. Mine doesn't work.
Yours doesn't work anymore? What happened?
Well, it's because whenever I talk to my girlfriend, whenever I'm talking to people on the phone, they tell me they can't hear me, and it's a very bad connection.
Huh. That's odd.
I hear his pretty good.
I know.
Yeah,
the big dog is.
Maybe there's something in your head that's distorting the reception.
Something in my head that is disturbing the reception. Sonny, there is nothing in my head that could be disturbing the reception, other than the hot air in there.
Maybe that's it.
Scorekeeper, what it is that brain of yours is so massive that all the electrical impulses that go to that goes with all the thinking that you do just disrupts the earpiece.
That's it.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, my big head, proverbially, is all the scatterbrain stuff that's going on. Mine is more like those little, whenever there's a disaster and the power cables get cut and you see them flapping around and they're, you know, buzzing at the very end, that's more like my brain, just flapping in the wind. That's what it is. Now, whenever you go to Saul, well, I don't know, Saul is just Saul, but anyway... So what's the prognosis for your St. Louis Rams this year, Saul? Are you really hoping that they're going to do very well, or what's the deal?
It's not looking. I'm not getting that warm fuzzy feeling, but I'm certain the Rams are going to finish ahead of the Titans. Let's say that.
Fair
That's
enough.
Not saying much.
Like that. No, it definitely is not saying much. Right now, how about Bradford, dude, their quarterback? What's the deal? Does he have any receivers on his team? Are you expecting him to do better? Or no, it's just not any hope to qualify for the playoffs?
I think Bradford's going to have a breakout year. He's gone through quite a bit. There's a lot of footage of him already warming up and taking and practicing just some amateur footage, and he's really looks like he's really been working with the new quarterbacks coach, and he's really looking like he's going to to have a good year, despite who he has to throw the ball to. So, kid reminds me a lot of a young Peyton Manning. So, we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. Is that you back there? Oh no, that's right. That's Big Dog. Big Dog, we know that Bradford took really a whole year to recover from that injury. It was what, guys, remind me, it was a separated shoulder, wasn't it? He was hurt on the field?
Yeah, he was hurt pretty much all of last year. He never, I mean, they said he was fine, but you could just tell he hadn't recovered. But I'm looking for a lot of great things for Bradford. I mean, he had a great first year, a great rookie year. I mean, a lot of people say he fell victim to, you know, the so-called sophomore jinx. So hopefully this third year he'll have it down. Like Saul said, you know, he's got the new quarterback coach. Everybody's looking for a lot of great things from him, you know. And if he does have a breakout season, I think that'll add more to it, because the fact that he doesn't have the receivers. And if he has a great season, that'll just show kind of what he has in him to try and get the Rams better. I mean, the Rams, you know, in the early 2000s, you know, were a force to be reckoned with. And, you know, they're not. They're almost a laughing stock of the league, you know. So it'd be nice to see them get back to somewhat resemblance of maybe a 500 team. I don't think they'll make the playoffs this year. I'm looking for them to maybe be 7-9. And I think that's being, you know, wishful thinking. But I'm hoping for that. And I think next year, not this season, but next season, they might be not a force to be reckoned with, but at least a playoff contender.
Hey, wait a minute, pal. 7-9 a few years ago gave them the division title, right, Saul?
Yes, 7-9 would definitely have been in the mix.
especially in the NFC West.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so if you say 7-9 and not make the playoffs, I don't know, Big Dog. I might not bet against you on that one. Or no, I would bet against you.
Well, now the NFC West is a much better division, which I don't know. I mean, Seattle up and coming with their situation, San Francisco becoming a better football. Forget the Arizona Cardinals. But, yeah, take away from that, you still have two other teams that they got to go up against in order to be somewhat good this year. And I agree. I think Bradford, he's got the goods. I think they are definitely suffering in the wide receiver position. Someone that he can depend on. Every time he goes back to pass, he has to give someone a look, and they don't have that guy. So they got a lot of good second and third guys, but just not the number one guy that a, you know, number one quarterback on a very good football team needs.
Hey guys, I don't mean to sound like a jerk, but I am. You know, this is a spot for Terrell Owens and Chad Ochocinco to go to the Rams.
He won't go there. Fisher don't deal with guys like Chad Ochocinco. That'll never happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that's one reason why I tend to stick with Fisher, because he's every problem child that they had on the Titans was one that Fisher got outvoted on and said no. Pac-Man,
yep.
Vince Young, he said no. And Bud Adams is just so hungry for a Super Bowl win that he's taken complete control over the team, and that this excellent talent that he's brought in at GM and coach, and it just they're voiceless, and he makes all the decisions, and as long as he keeps, he's Al Davis reincarnated.
Al Davis reincarnated, or dare I say, the dictator from Dallas?
Oh, he's not as worse as no. Jerry Jones,
yeah,
don't know football. That's the problem.
Yeah,
Jerry Jones
does give a lot of leeway, and you can see, and sticking with Tony Romo, and when he doesn't like somebody, that's when the gloves come off. But
yep.
Otherwise, he's pretty good about making sure it's, if they want it in the contract, that they have full control. And he lets them ride with it. And it's only when things get really bad that Jerry steps in and screws things up.
Well, sometimes he goes out and finds something to screw up on one Terrell Owens and let's just put it out there. Bill Parcells did not want that guy on the football team, and he said, no, I don't want him in there. And Jerry said, no, you get him next year. We don't have Bill Parcells as the head coach of that football team. That is, you know, sometimes, you know, I dig his passion. That's one thing you can't take away from Jerry Jones. He wants to win. He just don't know how to put the team together in order to win. That's why they need a guy who knows how to do it. But he thinks he knows best since the first 3 years he had Jimmy Johnson, who pretty much put that team on his back to get the wins. He thinks that he was a big part of it. And as the years keep going by and they are no good, everybody just knows it was all about Jimmy Johnson and had nothing to do with Jerry Jones except for the signature on the check.
Well, that's what it comes down to. Jerry Jones has way too much money invested in this for him to take a back seat. And that's what's killing him.
Yeah, but you know, if Jerry Jones was smart, I mean, if Jerry Jones was as smart as he thinks he is, he would get basketball people around. I'm sorry, not basketball, football people around him. I was thinking Donald Sterling. But, you know, you're right. He does have a lot of money invested in him. But the problem with Jerry Jones is, like Cap Potato said, he doesn't know football. I mean, Al Davis may have been a lot of things, and, you know, we love making fun of him and the Crypt Keeper and everything else. But the man was, I mean, a football genius. I mean, he did a lot of stuff for the good of the NFL, you know, even though it helped him out a lot. The guy did know football, you know, and Jerry Jones, you know, as we say, you know, he's kind of like the second coming of Al Davis, but the problem is at least Al Davis knew the game, whereas Jerry Jones is more like, I got the money, so I can do what I want.
Well, yeah, and Jerry Jones, I mean, he definitely made the Cowboys popular again. There's
oh yes,
no doubt.
Hey guys, think about this. What Saul just said. Jerry Jones is an oil man. He had some money, and he took all of his earnings and purchased a moribund team, the Dallas Cowboys, and made them into the property they are. Granted, it is the Dallas Cowboys, an incredibly recognizable name, but when he picked them up, hey guys, they suck. Flat out.
Well, exactly. And remember when he did pick them up, it was the money that he paid was astronomical. And that was back in 90, I think it was 90 or 89. I can't remember the exact year. But when they did it, it was astronomical. Now look what he's built up to, almost a $2 billion empire from the very, you know, cheap price that he picked up the Dallas Cowboys. I can't remember what that was, but I'll look that up, how much he actually paid for it. It wasn't much when you think about today's money in the NFL.
Sonny, I don't understand how they can say the Dallas Cowboys are worth $2 billion. I'll tell you why. How
actually,
much does
they're worth $2.7 billion, actually. Now.
Okay. Yeah, because the stadium alone is worth between $1.3 and $1.5. And doesn't he own the stadium?
No, not all the way. He's still paying that off. There was a lot of loans that were made in order for him to get that. He put a lot of his own money in after that happened. I'll give you an example of what that whole situation was about. When he built Cowboys Stadium, the funding was only for $1 billion. He ended up spending $2.7 billion on the stadium alone. It's worth more than if you think about the Cowboys and everything else, just to sell the franchise, it's worth 2.7. If they play in Cowboys Stadium, that's another purchase on top of it. He owns the Cowboys, and he owns the stadium when he's done paying off the loans that are involved with it. So really, if you put together the stadium and the Cowboys, it's close to $5 billion, I would guess.
And by the time he's done paying off stadium, the stadium is its life has ended. So he needs to make up his money now, because by the time it's paid off, it's not going to be worth anything. It's going to be another demolition, like the Kingdome or the Astrodome, and
Well, yeah, but I think it's got at least another 15 to 16 years. But I think, no, the Cowboys Stadium, I think he doesn't have much left to pay on it. So the reality of the sense. So I can't remember exactly what it was, but he bought the Dallas Cowboys back in 1989 for $140 million. I mean, and now it's a $2.7 billion. I mean, that's some profit for your ass.
Yeah, he's definitely increased the value of the team, and you know, even some of the most hated owners in sports. You know, Al Davis, you know, made the Raiders the number one team in merchandising across all professional sports. They made more money in merchandising than any other sport.
And that was because of who it was in reality, if you think about it.
Just win, baby. And the combination of the type of players that they would draft. But the Raiders, sadly, you know, in the last 10 years, it was just bad because he was so old. It just, you couldn't get the same fire. And Al Davis was real good at making that team work. But like I said, in the last 10, even 15 years, it was disappointing. It hurt to be a Raider fan.
That was the problem, you know, with the he was so hungry for another championship and the revolving door with the coaches and the quarterbacks, you know, and that's the same position the Titans are in now with Bud Adams. If you remember, Bud Adams and Al Davis were, you know, two of the original owners in the merger. And Bud Adams is, you know, he's in his 80s and he's hungry for it. And he's too hungry that the management of the team has lost all control, and he overrides pretty most every decision that management makes. So it's sad, but nothing's going to come of the Titans until Bud Adams takes a back seat.
Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Wonderful conversation. I want to let you know we did lose the big dog here. He may have already arrived at his location. It's really not too far from where he is right now, but you are listening to a special 2-hour extension of Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks, the Break It Down show. We are talking some football right now. Saul is calling in from the great state of Oregon. And, of course, the couch potato, the hardest working man in sport, is calling from the Republic of Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a little bit less than 30 minutes. We're going to talk a little bit more, some football. We're going to look at some of the East Coast teams in a bit, but don't forget, once the Breaking Down show does start, I believe it's next month, right, Sonny, or is it at the end of this month?
It's in five Saturdays from today. So it's like,
five,
you know. Yeah, that's when it'll be back at its regular time, the IFL United Bowl. Well, you know, it might be, depending on what day the United Bowl is. If it's played on Sunday, we'll be back that week. But if it's played, it just depends on when the days of the playoffs are going to be, played. If they play the playoff games on Friday, we'll be back on Saturday. So it could be as quickly as 2 weeks. It just all depends up on the schedules and what's going on in the stadiums for the playoffs that they're going to be playing in.
And tell us what you have scheduled for tonight, Sonny. What's on the couch potato calendar, please?
Yeah, it's the Texas Revolution on the road to play the Sioux Falls Storm to try to break the 31-game win streak that they have in Sioux Falls at Storm Stadium. They are the Revolution are trying to play spoiler for the next two games. They get Sioux Falls this week, and then the next Saturday after that, they get Sioux Falls again, but that's at the Allen Event Center, where we'll be broadcasting live from the stadium.
Excellent. Saul, we're going to go to you in a moment. I want to cover some NASCAR very quickly. Do you know what Sonoma is? But I want to take a quick 50-second break, ladies and gentlemen, so we can wet the proverbial whistle. I have an advertisement from a good friend of mine, D.A. Roberts, on his newest book. Here's a commercial. We'll be back in 50 seconds.
County Sheriff's Office. Is anyone out there? We were surrounded. surrounded by the dead. They were in rioters, we were told. We have survivors here. Civilians, women, children. If anyone out there.
Follow the story in the Ragnarok Rising Saga by D.A. Roberts. Available on Amazon, Smashwords, Barnes & Noble, and BooksAMillion.com. Visit RagnarokRising.Weebly.com.
Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank D.A. Roberts for that. Saul, tell me, before we go back to football, tell us what's going on in NASCAR, and specifically, when is Sonoma one of my favorite racetracks in NASCAR and Formula One?
You know, I have to look it up.
That was a hint and a half.
I'm multitasking.
Okay, fair enough. I will look it up right now.
It's next month sometime. I can't tell you the exact date. This weekend is Pocono. The truck races last night. Jeb Burton got his first win. The Sprint Cup series moves to TNT starting tomorrow, which is a good and a bad thing. TNT has an overload of commercials, but they also have their Race Buddy, which you can watch the race on the internet for free via TNT. They have all sorts of different camera angles. If you watch the race on TV, it's worth taking a look at Race Buddy if you have a good internet connection. They have pit road cameras. They have a bunch of in-car cameras. The only downfall is every time you switch camera, you have to watch a commercial for, you know, so Ted Turner can put a little more money in his pocket.
That's funny. That's good. All right. Fair enough. Very quickly, it is Pocono. This is the Pocono 400, right? This is a good race. It's not an oval. It's more like a triangle, right? Or tell us
about
it.
It's a nice track. It tends to be what people call a boring race. But there has been some excitement. The qualifying was rained out. It looks like the race is going to be all right for both the Nationwide and the Sprint Cup tomorrow. So the qualifying was set by owner points, so Jimmy Johnson is on the pole, hopefully not for long. And again, that practice is going on right now. It looks really good for the race tomorrow. So, and just, you know, being Pocono and being such a neat track, maybe not the most exciting track, but it's a really neat track, and being able to utilize Race Buddy on TNT with all the different camera angles really makes it a nice race. They call it Party in the Poconos. It's they have an amazing turnout for this race every year.
I appreciate that, Saul. I want to go over very quickly. We have Pocono, and I believe after this they're going to go to the Michigan International Speedway in Brooklyn, Michigan. And then, on June 23rd, Sonoma, California, the Toyota 47 Save Mart 350. That is one of my favorite races. It's referred to as a road course because there's right and left turns, dare I say. And it's a lot of fun. I love that race. My wife and I do everything we can to catch that one, both Formula One and NASCAR. And when you were taking us down the tour of NASCAR a few years back, you used to talk about one of your favorite race courses as being Bristol. Can you tell us about that one, why Bristol is one of your favorite ones?
Well, Bristol is a fast, short track. They call it the toilet bowl. It's these guys running around this short little track to where the difference between first and fifth is about 40 laps. it's so hard to gain position where some of the super speedways and some of the bigger tracks like Pocono, you get down to 23rd, you could be up in first in a matter of 5-6 laps. It's not that way with Bristol. It's where the real driving comes out, and even the stands that are at some ridiculous like 18 degree angle. It's a pain to get up to the top, but it just has an amazing view of the track. The fans love it. Bristol is just a super little short track.
Well, I think Bristol is also famous for the angle, right? That's probably one of the things you might not be coming through on that one. What is the freaking angle on that little toilet bowl? It is amazingly nasty, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like 26 degrees. I have to look it up to find out, remember exactly, but it's definitely a slope, and you know, you have these drivers sitting at that angle pretty much the entire race because there's not much to speak of for straightaways, and you could see with the in-car cameras, you can see that, you know, there's always that debate whether race car drivers are athletes, and if you watch one of the in-car cameras, you'll find out they are athletes. There's been more than one winner that's collapsed after the race, that they've had to shoot with electrolytes and oxygen because it's just so strenuous.
Yeah, and we've always joked about that, Stoll. But here's a personal comment, ladies and gentlemen. Bristol is on the calendar fairly soon, and the reason why I pointed out Bristol is when you look at the NASCAR calendar, everything is on cable. ESPN, TNT, whatever. One or two is on Fox. But when you talk about Bristol, this one's on ABC on August 24th. What does that tell you, huh, guys?
Well, the first half of the season is on Fox, and tomorrow's race is the first race on TNT, and it'll be on TNT for most of the rest of the season, and it switches to ABC, ESPN. The nationwide races, most of those are on ESPN. Some of the bigger races are on ABC. Same
Bristol
company. But most of them are available. I've been so busy lately that I've been listening to most of them on MRN or PRN, which is great because I grew up with the NASCAR races on the radio on MRN, so I don't mind listening to them.
Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. They're almost all on MRN, and of course, as I mentioned, quite a few of them are on ESPN, but Bristol is on ABC. We're looking forward to it. Some good stuff. June 23rd, Sonoma. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have even the slightest bit of interest, NASCAR, Formula One, that is a hell of a course. I love it. I love it. I love it. June 23rd. I'll be stuck watching that one all day Sunday, as will my wife. Good stuff. Starts at midday.
Stuck watching it.
I'm sorry?
Stuck watching it.
That was proverbial, Sonny. That was proverbial. Hey,
okay, all right. I just wanted to find out.
That was funny. That was good. We've got a few minutes left. Let's go over back to the NFL. I wanted to hit this team right now because one of our commentators, Eli Gray, who does our program on Wednesday night, the Ramblings of a Diehard Sports Fan, he's a big Miami Dolphin fan. Can we talk about their quarterback?
Yeah.
Obviously, there are a lot of people that really make fun of this guy. And, of course, Miami fans are really thrilled. They think that this guy has really got the makeup of being a good quarterback. And since I have Saul with us and you, Sonny, tell me, what is the deal with the Miami Dolphins quarterback? Is he the real deal, or is this just, they're going to have to do better than that?
Well, you know, that just all depends, you know, as far as Miami. And I think Saul's kind of a closet Miami fan. But the fact of the matter is that they need something around the guy. The fact, you know, and the fact that they lose their running back to the Detroit Lions, and I'm talking about Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush was becoming his own, finding the holes in the middle of the line and things of that sort. he was becoming a running back instead of that third down scat cat back that everybody was talking about, and that he played well throughout his career to that point. The problem also, they need someone to throw the football to, and that's huge. You can have the best quarterback. Look at Sam Bradford over in St. Louis that we were just talking about. They don't have anybody to throw the football to, and the fact that they don't makes it even worse for critics of Tannehill to say he's going to be a good quarterback. You can have the best number twos on that football team, but unless you've got a number one, you're never going to find out what kind of quarterback that you really have. So they need improvement there. I think he is the real deal. Coming out of college, I didn't know, but I watch his mechanics more so than his completions, because the fact of the matter is no one was catching the football. His mechanics are great. His arm strength is great. Even his accuracy deep down the field is great. So when you add up all that, that's a good quarterback to have on your football team, and I think he is the real deal.
Well, the problem with Tannehill is he needs the sidelines. He needs somebody deep along the sidelines. He can't throw up the middle. He's an amazing quarterback, but like you said, he has nobody to throw to. Unlike Bradford, Bradford's dangerous all over the field. He can throw up the middle, but he has nobody to speak of up the middle to throw to.
Yep.
Tannehill, if he has a reliable 6'2" receiver on the sidelines, he'll make waves. But until they get somebody that can actually hold on to the ball, they're not going anywhere. And I'm not a closet Miami fan. Don't make me get all William Shatner on you.
Wow, there you go, dude.
Well, you know, I tried.
Hey, I just got a call from Brian. I think it's funny. I'm telling him, we are still live, dude. It's so funny. Everyone calls me when I'm live. So I got to send a message.
He thought we might have dropped off, you know, by now.
Yeah, but we're not the weighed-in sports show that say they're going to go 2 hours and go 20 minutes.
Yeah, and it's nice, too, because I'm just chilling out. The kids are gone. They're all sleeping over at other people's houses, so, you know, and my wife is asleep, so I'm cool.
Guys, when we look at the Miami Dolphins and Ryan Tannehill, and I want to appreciate that, guys, because I put you on the spot on this one. His numbers for last year, he threw 12 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, 3,294 yards, and he had a passer rating of 76.1. He went down 35 times, and his rushing, he actually had 211 rushing yards with two touchdowns. But he did have 9 fumbles. He lost 4 of them. When you look at his passing, you know, he had a 6.8 average. When it came to yards compared to completions, I got to ask, and when he got sacked, when you look at it, he had 234 yards off of the 35 sacks. That's actually not too bad, guys. That means if he got sacked, they were usually on the low side. If you do the simple math, 234 divided by the 35 sacks, well, I don't know. That's 6.68. That's actually not very good, right, guys? Each sack amounted to about 7 yards. Not good at all, huh?
Well, Tannehill throws high, and when you throw high consistently, you're going to fumble, and that's why he's such a deep threat, and that's why he needs some tall, sure-handed receivers on the sidelines, because he just can't throw down the middle. With his throwing style, he's going to get picked, thrown up the middle, and that's why if his only choice is up the middle, he runs it. He needs to be able to stay with his form, with being able to throw high, but he needs somebody with a little bit of extra reach on the sidelines to be able to pull him in.
Well, and he also needs that type of quarterback that he is, just like Saul just said. He needs protection. That means offensive linemen. You got to find him some time in order for him to find those wide receivers. You need some big, strong guys that can hold up for a 4 second count. Give this time, this quarterback time to be able to find out what's available out in the routes and who he can get the ball to. It takes a lot of things to be putting on this type of quarterback, but. It, just like in any football, it has to start with your offensive line. If you've got a great quarterback, you need to be able to protect him. And we see that in a Tony Romo. The guy gets no protection. You see many teams last year have a breakdown on that offensive line where you have normally a damn good quarterback, but he's just not getting any time and he's running for his life. That's the same thing that's happened down in Miami, especially if they're going to go deep. They got to hold them off for 4 seconds. If they can't hold them off for 4 seconds, it's a waste of time, and they're not going to be able to get the production out of their quarterback as much as they could.
And that's funny that you say that.
Five years
ago, the three heaviest O-lines in the NFL were Miami, Tampa Bay, and Dallas. And now they have some of the weakest front lines. That's everything. When you're going deep as consistently as Tannehill is, a fortified O-line is a must. You have to give them that extra second and a half, and they're just not giving it to them.
I appreciate that. Saul, Brian, you're back in with us. Thanks for joining us again. You're listening. We're going over Miami Dolphins, but specifically Tannehill right now. Joining the conversation, great comment by Saul. A few years ago, one of the best offensive lines, and now,
Yeah, I mean, you know how I felt about Tannehill. I mean, I don't think he's ever going to cut it in the NFL. He's not the quarterback that's going to get Miami to the promised land. You know that, guys. I mean, the kid wasn't even a quarterback in high school. So I don't know what Miami did by getting him. I mean, he had a better year last year than I thought. Don't get me wrong. I'll own up to that. But as far as the offensive line, you're right. I mean, Dallas used to have the best offensive line, the biggest. I mean, Troy Aikman would never get hit usually. And that's why Emmitt Smith was the leading rusher, just because of that offensive line. I'm surprised that teams – don't spend the money to get those big offensive linemen more than they do the wide receivers.
Absolutely.
And even the quarterback sometimes. It's like they're putting money in the wrong places. Start with that offensive line. You could get – Tannehill could be a great quarterback if he had an offensive line. Hell, I could be a good one behind a great offensive line.
I appreciate that. Sonny,
I'm joking about me, by the way. So.
No, it's all good. Hey, you know what? No one laughed. There was truth to that. Go ahead,
Sonny. No, I agree with him 100%. That you've got to be able – and it all depends on what kind of franchise that you got on, whether or not that they are going to go ahead and spend the money necessary to protect the main reason why football teams are successful in the NFL. The main reason why teams are successful is because they have a quarterback. And if you choose not to – you know, protect them, then you're going to have an average kind of guy. That's what it's going to boil down to. And until the teams like the Miami Dolphins will go ahead and spend the money on the offensive line just as much as they did on their quarterback, they're going to be average, and especially in their division in the AFC West or East.
Wow. Interesting that we're talking about Miami. Yahoo actually gave Miami an A-plus on their draft, or not an A-plus, but they gave them an A. And this is what they went after: defensive end Deion Jordan, cornerback Jamar Taylor, offensive tackle Dallas Thomas, cornerback Will Davis, offensive linebacker, that's outside linebacker, isn't it? OLB?
Yes.
Sorry about that. Outside linebacker Jelani Jenkins, tight end Deion Sims, running back Mike Gillespie, kicker Caleb Sturgis, and strong safety Don Jones. And it's like everyone knew what the problem is with Miami, and they didn't even try to get it.
No.
Looking at all this,
no.
They went on.
Exactly.
And they didn't,
Yeah, and they didn't get themselves a receiver, because listening to Couch Potato and Saul right now, he needs a guy. And if you don't have a line, I mean, it doesn't look good. I mean, I think it's good that they went on defense, but if this guy's your second-year guy, you need to give him some targets. I don't know how they rated them an A. Were they that good on their draft? And I'll go over to you, Tarvin, on that one.
And their offensive linemen they gave up, right? They gave up their best offensive linemen, and then that made me scratch my head, too. I don't give them an A in that at all.
No, they needed a lot more work, especially on the – if you're going to give up your offensive lineman, you better be ready to replace him. And that was the big mistake that Miami went through. Their draft – if you're going to give them an A for their draft, you've got to be able to look at their needs that stand out like the sore thumb, and they address them. If they don't address them, I don't give – don't get me wrong. The players that they picked up in the draft are good players. But as far as their system was concerned, yes, they had some needs defensively. But guess what? You can find those guys in free agency and stuff like that. You can't find offensive linemen in free agency, or the Dallas Cowboys wouldn't have had the jigsaw puzzle that they tried to put together for Tony Romo. They're just not out there. You've got to grab up those guys because they're – few and far between in the NFL. They just made a huge mistake.
Yep.
You know, Saul, I actually may have misspoken. I think, and Sonny did say it, and so did Bri here, is that they actually did pick up a lot of talent. They went after defense, and I think they do deserve an A on their grade. But what I think I meant to say and should have said was that what they really needed was offensive. And I don't think they delivered on that. Would you agree, Saul, or what's your opinion on that?
Oops, sorry, I was multitasking again. I didn't catch that.
I apologize. Look, they did draft well. They were hurting on defense. I think they did get an A on that. But this is a team that needed an offensive line. They didn't do well there. I mean, are we looking at Miami having the same problems this year? They gave up part of their line, and they didn't do anything to replace it. Is it going to go worse for Tannehill?
More than likely. If they concentrated too much in one area, and that's where Parcells was such a great asset to Miami. Is that he brought that all around aspect to it, that you can't just run around and try to plug the holes and say, oh, okay, well, this year we had a problem with this, and let the rest of your line go to crap. And I just don't see Miami doing anything. I see some bright flashes out of Tannehill, but until he really gets a some good solid protection and the good solid receiver down the field, you can't win a game all on defense.
Yeah, the days of the Baltimore Ravens, you know, winning the Super Bowl with their defense, those are over. And they proved it this past year because of their quarterback position. So, yeah, those days are gone. And if you're going to do it, you got to be able to put together the team that will take you to the promised land. And right now, Miami just hadn't done it. And never mind their division. Their division is so damn tough that, you know, you got to get past the Patriots if you're going to be a viable candidate in the playoffs. And just right now, from what they've done, they haven't done it.
I think losing Reggie Bush is going to hurt him, because he can actually catch the ball out of the backfield, which is kind of like a receiver for him when he got in trouble with the offensive line, dump it off to Reggie. So I just don't think they made moves that should be made if they want to win a championship. Not yet. Maybe they're saving it for next year.
Yeah, Brian, I'm sorry. I think that's what I meant to say. They did draft well, but they needed to get more to where they were hurting, and they didn't get it. Ladies and gentlemen, excellent commentary by the three experts right here, Solomon Walters, the Couch Potato, and, of course, Brian Tarvin. Excellent stuff. Don't forget to catch Brian Tarvin on Sundays, Weigh It In Sports at 8 p.m. Pacific time. I'm sorry, 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern. Couch Potato will be at
9 Eastern.
9 Eastern.
And it's way in sports talk.
What do they say?
Weigh it in.
I do it all the time. I say it all the time.
That's where I get it from. Ladies and gentlemen, we're under a minute. I want to thank Saul. It's been a while, pal. I love having you on. And we'll be in contact. But ladies and gentlemen, this is another four-hour Saturday morning. We had a lot of fun. Thanks for staying with us and tolerating us. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So check out Weigh In Sports Talk and, of course, the Couch Potato. Yeah. And we are NDB Media. Joke Nights this Monday, 7 p.m. Pacific time. Hope to see you guys there. We'll see you guys on the other side, guys.
See ya.
And there's the one.
See ya.
Peace.